The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This week we had no topic to talk about, so we did a comic conversation. And boy, did we hit on a bunch of stuff. We hit on the Joker, War of the Realms, Endgame, Arrow, Star Wars, DC Universe, Supergirl, Captain Marvel, Major X, and more. A lot more. So let's get in there and take it all in. Hey, John, how we doing this week?
Oh, I'm living the dream, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. My favorite part of the week. Back in the store.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm here all the time.
I know, but it's nice to be back at Arkham Comics and Games.
Yeah. You slipped and started to say friendly neighbor.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Rewind the tape. It doesn't lie.
I've been in there a lot.
Does anybody listening know what tape is anymore?
I know.
Aged myself again.
Yeah, speaking of aging myself. So, did you see the Motley Crue?
I did. I actually watched it Saturday night.
Did you like it as much as... I know you did, because you texted me in the middle of it.
Well, I liked it, but I don't know if I liked it as much as you did. Because your text to me, I could tell that you were really excited about it.
Oh.
And I did like it, but I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
Yeah, Jen and I watched... She had never seen Heathers, and it just came up in conversation, and so we watched that Saturday morning. I think it was raining or something, so we went down and watched Heathers, and right when it ended on Netflix, it just came up. The Dirt came up. I'd never even heard of it. Didn't know they were making it.
I think it just dropped like Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
It was brand new.
We're like, you want to watch this? And we're like, all right. And by the end of it, we're like calling all our friends. We're like, we should bring our friends over and watch this again tonight. Other people are like 80s music and stuff. And it's
right.
Oh, it
surprises me that your wife liked it as much as she did.
Oh, she loves
the content was pretty extreme.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. The opening scene you're talking about? Yeah.
Well, there were several scenes throughout that movie, and Ozzy was something to behold as well.
And so, I saw on, if you read on IMDb, the trivia stuff, and Ozzy could neither confirm nor deny that scene.
Well, I don't think he could remember it if he wanted
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, if you're an 80s fan, highly recommend. I know this ain't comic related, but... The Dirt, it's just so good. It was so entertaining. Yeah. I read some bad reviews on it. They're like, I'm like, you're missing the point.
I recommended it to a customer today. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, the other part of it is it's produced partially by them.
Yeah, I saw that in the credits afterwards.
Part of me made me think that was kind of cool, like, so you know this is true. But then the other part of me was like, well, they're probably embellishing a little bit to make themselves seem like more bad than they really were. But
it's their versions of the truth.
Right.
But there were some things in it, not to go way deep on this, but that I didn't know or remember, you know.
Yeah, like when you texted me in the middle of the movie, how did I miss that Nick Six died?
I didn't remember. I was like, as far as I know, he's still alive.
Right.
I don't remember that.
That was your text. I didn't know Nicky Six died. Oh, wait, never mind.
I was like, why don't I remember this? And it's like, oh, because it didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And I didn't, again, I don't want to spoil it, but I'll just say I didn't know about Vince's kid.
Well, that's not
either.
A spoiler. It happened in the 90s.
Well, I know,
95,
but I didn't, I know. But, I mean, I didn't know it. So, I mean, it was for me watching it, it made an impact. So I don't want to spoil it. For somebody, I know you can't spoil a true event that actually happened. But,
right.
Maybe not everybody knows everything. So
yeah, Jen didn't know. Jen didn't know either. I had, as soon as I saw like the scene start, I was like, oh yeah, I'd remembered.
See, again, I don't know why. I guess I didn't remember that either. But
yeah.
Oh well, it was good.
Yeah, very good, very entertaining. So did you get your Endgame tickets?
I did get my Endgame tickets.
After yelling at me?
After yelling at you, yes. I was like, the dude will text me at 6 a.m. to tell me the trailer dropped, but he won't text me at 6 a.m. to tell me the tickets are on sale. So I didn't find out till about, I'd say, 10 o'clock, and I had to get ready to go to work. So I didn't even start trying to buy him till after around 11:30. And basically the entire internet was crashed by then. Couldn't get tickets at all. And I did manage to get two seats at the theater by my store. But I didn't really want to go there because they're not assigned seating.
Oh.
Which means now I'm going to have to go super early and sit around and, you know, sit around so I don't have to sit in the front row. But I did get tickets, so.
Yeah, I got.
all is right with
I'm
the world.
I'm sorry. I was.
Yeah, it's all right.
I actually set an alarm. See, honestly, for me, here.
I didn't know they were going on sale, though. Where was it announced?
All right, so here's the story from my perspective. I'm supposed to be going to. I was supposed to be going away up to Montreal for a hockey tournament that weekend. So typically, I don't. Like last year, I didn't get to see Infinity War until Sunday night because I leave Thursday morning. Well, some stuff is going on this year, and I found out yesterday I'm not able to go. So as soon as I found out, what was that? The day before, I found out I wasn't able to go. And I went online to buy my tickets. I'm like, I'll see what I can get for Thursday night, even if it's a crappy seat. Well, I'm looking all over the internet, and they're not even for sale yet. And I hadn't really been paying attention because I knew I couldn't go, so it wasn't on the top of my head. I saw late that night, I'm like, they're going. I started scrolling, looking for reports, and they said they're going on sale the next day. So the next morning, I set my alarm, not to wake me up, but it's like literally a reminder. I've got a million things to do in the morning, and I'm flipping through at 7:30, and there it is. It's like, get your Endgame tickets. I was like, oh, yeah. So I had to remind myself. So I went on right away. And I got my tickets. I actually got two tickets for Jen and I at the 6, and then I got another ticket for myself at the 10. Yeah. So yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for the end of that one when I get up and walk out, and they go, no, there's more. No, I'm good. I'll see you.
I'm good, yeah.
But, so honestly, I didn't even find out they were on sale the next morning until the night before. And then with everything going on, I forgot to. I should, but I did tweet it out to everybody.
Well,
selfishly, I made sure I got my tickets before I announced it to the world that they're on sale. Because all of our followers,
I would have done the same thing. Are all in Douglas, Massachusetts.
I didn't want them to buy up.
That's
all
what
my
I was
tickets.
Thinking. I was like, oh, he tweets it out and then it sells out in Texas. So son of a bitch. Yeah. But I was thinking, well, we have 70 followers and. Most of them aren't in Texas, so that probably wasn't it.
Oh, we have more than that in Twitter followers.
Well, that's true. Like I said, other than having to, that I'm going to have to go early and, fight for a seat.
Yeah.
I got tickets at 6 p.m., so it'll be fine.
That's...
Looking forward to it.
So...
I've got to go, I have to go Thursday night, because I could have got tickets for Friday or Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
But, being that, first of all, I'm two doors down from a movie theater, I get people strolling in and out between every showing, talking about the movie.
Oh,
but
it'd be
just
spoiled.
The nature of being a comic book store, people want to come in and talk to me about it.
Right.
Plus, I don't want to have to not go on the internet for 2 days, because... Basically by 10 p.m. on Thursday night, it'll be spoiled all over the place. So,
right.
I really make sure I go.
I made it okay.
I really make sure I go to everything.
I made it okay last year till Sunday night.
Yeah.
Well,
you just have to mute all the people that you follow that might talk about
it.
And that would just leave me basically, I'd be following my mother and.
Well, what's funny, but last year we didn't have the Brightside Twitter feed. So it's like, which is, we follow over 900 followers,
and they're all comic related.
So you know that would explode, and I would hate to have to ignore that for 4 days.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you're
busy tomorrow evening, but I'm, I've got tickets for Shazam at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So
I'm gonna try to sneak it in at four before my night. But then if I don't make that, I'm just going to see it. It's supposed to rain Friday, so I might be able to see it Friday morning. I'll definitely have seen it by Friday, though. I'm disappointed in that I'm not able to definitely see it tomorrow night, but,
yeah, I hear awesome things about it ever since, last Saturday when it had its sneak peek.
Yeah.
Fandango did a sneak peek, which I wasn't able to go to. I really wanted to, but I had tickets to something else and I'll wait because that's something I actually want to talk about later.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Everybody
that has seen it or talked about it has nothing but high praise for it. I've heard really good things about it. And I heard from one of my customers that there's a surprise superhero cameo that is very unexpected.
So Superman.
I can't wait to see who it is.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Superman would be expected because
it's expected.
There was talk about Henry Cavill. there was talk about Henry Cavill doing that already. So if it turns out to be him, that wouldn't be a surprise. I'm hoping that it's somebody that we just haven't even thought about, you know,
right.
Which would be awesome.
Right. I want to get back to the Endgame. I want to give my Avengers Forever update. So I'm reading that book. I'm about halfway through because of everything else we have to read. But I can't wait to finish this book. But.
And just to see how accurate it might be?
Well, I've got some news that is, it's speculation, spoiler speculation. So, in the Avengers, Avengers Forever, it's Rick Jones has that power. He has the power to bring people back from the future and the past. And I've had this conversation at Friendly Neighborhood. I've had it at a couple other places, and they have said, hey, that's interesting. All of the stuff that if you look at the trailers and all the speculation, I haven't seen anybody else mention this online. You know how we talk about Black Widow and her hair being different in all these different scenes? And then there's speculation of Captain America, and he's got different costumes from different periods. Well, in Avengers Forever, Rick Jones brings people back from different time periods to fight the battles, but he picks the people from the period that would be best suited. Right. So there's actually Hank Pym is in this book. Hank Pym is in it. He's actually two people. Yellow Jacket and Giant Man, and they're fighting together. Next to each other. Because they come from two different parts of the timeline.
Right, but that's not like a quantum entanglement or anything.
No,
but what
I'm thinking is I don't think they're going to use Rick Jones. I think they're going to use the quantum realm to go back and pop in. So there's a scene in the latest trailer where Tony Stark says to Captain America, to Steve Rogers, he's like, do you trust me? And then they shake hands or whatever. And then the speculation, is that really them shaking hands? Who else? It could be somebody else. But it's, do you trust me? But then if you look in the background, it's all New York. What if, and Tony Stark looks really old. What if Tony Stark, they use the quantum realm and he pops into New York to pull Captain America out of New York to go fight a battle someplace? And this is where you can even go further into this where it's like, remember how Chris Evans said, I love my ending or whatever. And he's like, he's not really gone, but he might be gone. People are like, what's going on? What if only a future version of him dies, but not you know what I mean? Like you could have people die from other time periods, but it doesn't affect this time period. I think everybody's looking at time travel as a one thing. Like they're all going to go back in time or they're all going to go here. But what if they're all from different time periods, like in this book?
Right.
And that would be crazy.
It'd be awesome.
And that would explain all of the different hair colors. Different hair colors, Ronan could be from way in the future.
Right.
And they pull him back to.
And Mohawk Eye could be from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I can't wait to finish. There's other parts of it. We'll get into, I'll have it finished by the time we do our I want to, you know, we'll do an end game preview and we'll talk more about it then. But yeah, I'm really excited for this movie and 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't drink anything before it starts.
Oh no. I went and got those bladder things.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to buy some Depends and just sit there.
Yeah. Somebody I follow on Twitter said they had that cup. The thing to pee, you know, and I was like, hey, good plan. Speaking of Marvel, Captain Marvel, $1 billion today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. What's it, the seventh Marvel movie, I think it said.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah, it becomes the seventh Marvel pick to the milestone. It did 358.1 domestic, 644.5 international, and so it gives it that, yeah, billion.
billion point two.
I'd take 1% of that.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Now we have $1,070.
All right.
Old Eddie Murphy Raw reference.
So... Do you want to do the next thing I wanted to talk about? We could talk about now, or we can do comics and talk about afterwards. I wanted to get into the Joker trailer.
Well, let's just do the comics, and then that way we can. I think that then way we can just talk about.
Talk.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the.
That way, for the people that don't care about the comics, they don't have to listen for an hour to get to them.
This is called fast forward
to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then. How am I going to spend my money this week at Arkham Comics and Games?
There you go. And actually, this is a pretty quick week because there's not a whole lot to talk about. Speculator Corner for this week. The first book we have is Deadpool number 11. We have I'm going to butcher this name, but Nakayama as Guardian variant. It's not selling for a ton over cover price, but this is a really awesome Deadpool cover. I'm not sure if you got a chance to see this today at the store.
No.
He's riding like a unicorn and has like Thor, like a Thor helmet on. It's actually a pretty cool cover. It looks very Deadpool. So this thing has a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are picking this thing up. Like I said, not necessarily for the dollar amount. But
just as a cool,
really
cover.
Cool Deadpool cover.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Before you get to your next one, should we have a sounder for our Immortal Hulk minute?
I was going to say...
I need something. What do we do?
We need to kick off... Yeah, well, do that in post. Yeah. I'll expect to hear something tomorrow.
I don't know what to do in post. <What did, rawr! laughs>
Yeah.
There we go.
So, surprising nobody, we're going to talk about the Immortal Hulk.
Well, at least this week it came out.
Well, right, yeah. This is the beast of the week. This is issue number 16. Now, this was sold out and had a second printing announced a week ago. Before it even hit the stands, they were already talking about the second printing. Second prints have actually already been ordered before this thing came out. So there's a big spoiler in here, and I'm not going to talk about it at all. If you're reading The Immortal Hulk, you already know. Main cover is selling for just cover price around $5. The Asgardian variant is selling for $6. But I expect those to go higher as they start to sell out. There is a 1 in 25 variant for this, and it is going for crazy money, $125. That's a lot for a 1 in 25 variant. And there's actually a 1 in 25 variant for the second print, which I think is the first time I've ever heard of that. Like, I've never heard of them do a variant like that for a second printing. That thing's already selling for $60. So this is a big book in the series. There's like a major issue, you know, something major happens, so this thing is going to sell out. I would definitely go out and pick up a copy, even if you're not reading it, and put it away, because it's going to go up in price for sure. And the last one is Major X number 1. This was also pretty in demand this week. This one was also sold out before today. At Diamond, it was sold out over a week ago. They haven't announced the second printing yet, but there's no way there won't be one. Regular covers of this are already selling for $10, and the 1 in 25 variant is selling for about $60. So I know we're both going to talk about this book a little later on, but it is very in demand. I only have two copies left as of today when I close.
I thought
they will definitely be gone tomorrow.
I think the standard cover is nice.
Standard cover is very cool. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm not sure what the 1-in-25 cover even looks like, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. But
the regular cover is a good looking cover. And then that's it for Speculator books that came out this week. Back issue books, again, I only have one to talk about. This is Bitter Root number 1. We talked about this as one of our recommended reading books several months ago when it first came out. But this just got optioned for TV, so as usual, the prices are starting to jump. cover A is selling for $12. The B cover is actually selling for less. But there was, and this is actually one of the first times I've ever heard of this too, but eBay had an exclusive cover for this book, which I didn't know eBay was in the exclusive cover business. But they were selling them for cover price, like $6, you know, when this book came out. Now it's $50.
Akira, as in the...
Yeah, it's an homage to Akira.
Oh, really?
The anime.
Yeah.
It's a really cool cover. I almost picked one up back when they were out. A customer of mine bought one and told me about it. And I looked at it and then kind of put it off to the side, and I just never got back to it. But, yeah, that one's going for crazy money, and it's only going to go up higher. So, and this was a cool story. I liked, you know, when we did the recommended reading, I did recommend this as a book to read. So I'm kind of excited to see the TV show or Netflix movie, or I don't know what's going to happen with it. I just know it was optioned for some kind
but
of
you don't know to where
media.
You don't know the destination.
I don't know where. Yeah. I don't know where, and I don't know if it's going to be a series or a movie. I mean, you would imagine it's going to be a series and not just a movie because it's, you know, it's a multiple issue book, so
yeah,
it would need more than 2 hours to tell the story. So, but that's it for back issues this week. I could always talk about anything Immortal Hulk. So, I actually saw there was a guy that posted to get back to Immortal Hulk, but this kind of blew me away, and this is why it pays to listen to this show, because there's a guy that posted a picture on Facebook today of basically the first. But he had posted a picture today of the first 7 issues of Immortal Hulk that he found at some store somewhere with $3 price tags on all of them. Issue number 2 is a $100 book, and he bought it at a store for $3. So it pays to listen to this show and know what to look out for, because you can still find deals out there.
Yeah.
If you know. Now, I'm sure the guy that bought him didn't buy him because he was listening to our show.
Oh, no. I'm sure that's exactly what it was.
But,
I don't know why he didn't hit us up on Twitter and let us know.
But there are also, there are also stores that should be listening, because they should be checking their back issues and making sure they're priced appropriately. Yeah. You could sell, you know, a Young Avengers number 1 or, you know, an Immortal Hulk number 2 for cover price. So,
Joe and I went into a store a couple weeks ago, and I sat in the front talking to the owner for a while. We talked for like 40 minutes, and Joe disappeared. And I was like, what were you doing back there? And he had up all the our show notes. And
he was looking for Young Avengers.
He goes, I was listening to you guys, but I was just – he was flipping through everything, anything we had back issue, and he was just going through all our shows. Did you find anything? And he goes, I think there were a couple of Spider-Mans in there, so it'd be, say it was like a Spider-Man like 293 or something. He'd be like, 91, 92, 94, damn.
Yeah, I know. That's how it always is. Even when people bring me collections to sell, I know which issues I'm looking for. So I'll say, oh, there's a run of Amazing Spider-Man. And I'll go 249, 250, 251. 253, 254,
right.
250. I mean, damn it.
Yeah.
That 252 is not there.
Yeah.
But you know, to bring it back to that, I was making fun of somebody on this show a couple weeks ago when I was saying, yeah, I laugh when they come in and I can hear them saying, I'm going to go look for Teen Titans number 12. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you're never going to find that in back stock. But I'm sure the guy in the store that sold the Immortal Hulk for number 2 for $3 today thinks the same thing. So,
right.
It just goes to show that you should always check no matter what. So,
yeah.
All right. So that's it for our basically our back issues and our speculator corner. Jumping into our FOC this week, we have Batman issue number 70. Lionel Yu is the variant cover artist. I have never heard of Lionel Yu. I don't want to say him or her because I don't know.
Right.
But it was a real, it was a really nice looking cover. So I look forward to seeing more art from Lionel Yu.
I think that's after the Nightmare series, right?
Yes, that is the first issue
after it.
Post Nightmare series, yes, because they saw the solicit. I was reading the solicits for it,
yep.
Which I try not to do on titles that I actually read because that's how things get spoiled for me. That's how I knew Nightwing was getting shot 2 months before it happened because it was in the synopsis from Diamond. So,
damn.
But anyways, so I didn't want to read about what was happening after the Nightmare series, but it looks like a good cover.
Oh, so you didn't look? You don't know?
I didn't really look. No, I just saw that it was like. After the events of the Nightmare, and I stopped reading. So,
right, yeah.
So we've also got Deathstroke number 43, Clayton Crane, and Green Lantern number 7, Emanuela Lupacino. Those are the three variants that I would keep an eye on for DC.
Have you seen the Green Lantern one?
Yes, it's really cool. I like it. Yes.
I'll have to get
Speaking
that
of
one.
This week's Green Lantern by Lucio Perillo, it hit the stands today. It's beautiful. Nobody was really, like, it didn't have a lot of speculator heat on it at all today. But
which one was that?
It's a great Green Lantern number 6.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Came out today. So the variant cover for that is really, really nice.
Yep.
Okay, new series from DC. Deceased is on FOC this week, so it's going to be DC's big event for the summer. It's a 6-issue series.
Another big event.
Of course, there's multiple covers for this. Well, this is a big event in the sense that it's only 6 issues and nothing else. It's not like War of the Realms where you have to read 97 issues a month to keep up with it.
We'll get into that.
Deceased has a bunch of horror themed variant covers that are going to happen throughout all the DC books that month, and I've seen a couple of them and they look really nice. So. Should be a good series. Mitch Gerards, who's an artist for DC, was on Twitter today talking about, you know, he's read the whole, all 6 issues of Deceased, which again thrilled me because that means they're actually done. So hopefully they won't get delayed and we'll get them all on time. But, he was talking about how it was like one of the best things he's ever read. So, I have pretty high hopes for this and, should be a good selling series, so I would get in and make sure you get a copy ordered for that.
I'm actually writing it in my notes right now because I'm pretty sure I signed up for that, but I don't want to miss it.
Yeah. DC sent us a PDF today of the first issue. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. I will read it before Monday, you know, just so I can read it before the FOC hits, and maybe I'll tweet something out. If it, you know, depending on how good or bad it is.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's it for DC. From Image Comics, we have Gogor number 1. Don't know anything about it. I just know it's an Image Comics number 1. And like we just talked about with Bitterroot and a lot of these other things that are number 1s from Image, a lot of these things get picked up for TV and movies and things like that. So, I always keep an eye on any number 1 from Image. Marvel variant covers. We have Spider-Gwen number 8. We have the Battle Lines variant. And War of the Realms number 3. There's a Battle Lines variant and a Young Guns variant. All three of those look really good. They were also the only three that had images that I could look at. So
they look better than the ones you couldn't see?
right. I can't say that they're the best, but they're the best that I got to see.
Right.
But they're actually, the Spider-Gwen in particular is a really cool cover. So I would keep an eye on that. New series, Savage Avengers number 1 is solicited. So
that looks good.
I think we've talked about it before, but you know, this is the Conan and Wolverine and kind of the Dark Avengers, you know, line up, and it looks pretty cool. So again, being Marvel, there's multiple covers for that. I would definitely get in and get ordered the one that you like the best. And let's see. Moving on down from Marvel, we go to Dynamite Comics. We have Red Sonja issue number 4 and $6 Million Man issue 3. Five or six covers for each of those. So if you're reading those titles, go in and pick out the cover that you want. From Valiant Comics, we have Fallen World number 1. That's a new series also with multiple covers. And from Zenoscope, Dragon's Blood number 1 of 4. So it's just going to be a mini series. But again, Zenoscope has usually up to A through F covers. So there'll be a bunch of those. And I'm kind of I'm jumping on the Zenoscope bandwagon a little bit now because I've started to read. I did read the Robin Hood series, and I caught up on the first two issues of Zodiac last week. So I'm starting to pick up some of the Zenoscope world.
I got to order the Robin Hood because I read that one that I recommended a couple of weeks ago. The first.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find any more of it, though. The store doesn't have it. I'm going to have to order it special.
Well, number 3 for that hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
But older
there,
Robin Hood series?
Yeah, that's what I wanted, older ones.
Trade paperbacks. Yeah, you'll have to find them in trade paperbacks.
I really like that. Yeah. I thought it was fun and a different take on Robin Hood. Like I said, I'm kind of partial to bows.
Well, and arrow. I read it after you recommended it. And then, like I said, I read Zodiac. So starting to jump into the Zenoscope kind of grim fairy tales world. So I am going to read Dragon's Blood. I'm looking forward to that. All right, so recommended reading.
All right.
So I'm going to skip my first one and go to my second one because you and I are both going to talk about my first one. So the first book that I want to talk about today is from Ahoy Comics. It's called Bronze Age Boogie. It's written by Stuart Moore and Tyrone Finch. It has art by Alberto Ponticelli and Alan
Nice Irish
Morissette.
Fella.
Yeah, yeah. He's a paisan.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. So looking at the synopsis for this, it says Ahoy Wave 2 begins. So I don't know anything about Wave 1 of Ahoy Comics. I didn't read any of those. But I'm just going to
Wave 1 was Bon Voyage.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to read the synopsis, and then I'll just kind of tell you a couple things about how I felt about it. But it says, what do you get when you combine all the best loved comics genres of the 70s? Apes, monsters, kung fu, sword and sorcery, and cosmic adventure. You get Bronze Age Boogie.
I've been dying for a comic to mix all of those.
But yeah,
together.
I was waiting for all those
yesterday.
Things to come together. But this was actually really funny. Like I really enjoyed it. It starts out kind of in 1975, and you get a little prelude with I can't remember her name, but there's a monkey and a chimpanzee character, and then there's a golem, and she's a female wearing a go-go dress, and her name is Go-Go Golem, and it was just really fun. Like, it was really good. And then after the prelude, it jumps back 3,400 years in time.
Oh,
and
of course.
You're in basically the sword and sorcery section of it. But what you start to figure out as you're reading it is there's the king, and he's, of course, the guy leading the battles. But his daughter's there with him. But she starts talking, and she's starting to make references to current day things. Like she has a Happy Days reference in there. And I'm starting to think to myself as I'm reading this, I had to go back and look at the timeline. It's like, did this say 3,400 years from now or in the past? Because I'm like, how does this girl know about Happy Days and all this other stuff? So then you start to figure out that there's a time travel element and some things like that. But what I really liked about it is, like, the father, he's the king, and of course he's from, Bronze Age times, and he's talking, and the whole time the girl's, like, correcting his grammar and talking about, his run-on sentences and all this stuff, and I don't know. I mean, it's really, it's probably really stupid, but it just kind of struck me the right way, and I really enjoyed it when I was reading it. The art was pretty good, and it made me think enough as I was reading it that I was trying to figure it out, and, you know, like you and I just finished talking about before we got on, it made me want to read issue two. So, again, anytime an issue number one can make you want to read issue two, it did its job. So I would recommend this book. I actually thought it was really good. I don't know how many stores ordered a lot of copies of it. I ordered 3 copies for the store, and I sold one today. I still have 2 left, but if you can find it, you know, sitting on the shelf, like I said, it was really fun. And, you know, it kind of, well, I don't even want to spoil it, but but you're going to go back and forth in time. Like, you're going to jump back and forth between, like, the 70s and, you know, early days, I think, quite a few times while you're reading it. So, definitely would recommend it. I know we're going to talk about Major X, but did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about first?
I know you haven't had a chance to read Cosmic Ghost Rider yet.
No.
That one was really good. I read a couple others that I'd rather not talk about. And unfortunately, I didn't get to, because of that, I didn't get to read my $6 Million Man, which I'm really looking forward to. So I'll read that later this week. But yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider with, it's Spider-Man this week.
Right.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Much like, the first one with Fantastic Four. And he revisionist history. So it's really good. I was hoping you had read it because there's some, good
I really
humor.
Wanted to get to it. Yeah. I really wanted to get to it today. But I did also read War of the Realms, and I know we're going to touch on that too, and I just couldn't get to Cosmic Ghost Rider. I picked it up, but I remembered the first one being, you know, fairly long to read.
This one wasn't as long, I don't think.
I was like, if this one is, I'm not going to have time to finish it, so I elected to just wait and not start it. Yeah. So,
all right.
So, let's all right, get in. You liked it?
Yeah, I did. I did. I really did. Okay. Oh, of course. And you will too, I think, with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would say, you know, we both have a love for Spider-Man, so.
Yeah. So, much like the first, so. Okay. Let's get into Major X.
Yeah, so Major X issue number one. This is a 6-issue miniseries from Marvel Comics. It was written and drawn by Rob Liefeld. Love him or hate him, he's back at Marvel. So like I said, this book had a lot of hype surrounding it before we get into whether we liked it or not. It was sold out over a week ago. So, you know, a lot of orders were put in for this book and a lot of people were expecting it to do well. So, and it didn't disappoint when it comes to that. Like I said earlier, I only have 2 copies left and I ordered pretty heavy on this. Most of them went to pre-orders, but I sold several off the shelf today. So, so what did you think of Major X number one?
I loved it. I bought the single copy, and obviously I didn't sign up for the subscription yet. But as soon as I read the last page, I actually was disappointed. I wanted more, like the next page, but you know it's over, and it's like in 2 weeks the last page. Right. It's like I the store was closed. And I'm like, I need to call them and tell them I want it. And I've got it in my notes when I go back in to get made. I need the subscription. So like we were saying, like if you can't ask for more than that out of a one book. So,
right.
And not only that, I'm not even just saying, like I've read some books, like, I mean, we both have said that, like, oh, it was really good. I'm interested in the next one. I'm more than interested. I thought the humor was great. I thought the artwork was fantastic. I was very, very impressed with the artwork. We can get into more of that once you give your opinion. But yeah. I thought the humor was good. The characters were fun. There was fun. There was intrigue. You know, what did you think?
Yeah, so I have a love-hate relationship with Rob Liefeld. Going back to his early work with Marvel, for those that don't know, I'm sure everybody knows, you know, Rob Liefeld created Deadpool, created X-Force, Cable, Domino. All these characters were, you know, created by Rob Liefeld. And then he went on to, he left Marvel and went to help found Image Comics and created Youngblood. And I always felt him to be very overrated, to be honest with you. His artwork is made fun of endlessly by anybody that's followed him in comics for any period of time. So I was very skeptical when I heard that he was doing this. And honestly, when I saw the artwork, the solicit for this, and Major X, it felt very unoriginal to me, and I was like, this is just going to be more of the same. Like, Rob Liefeld is known for kind of, you know, ripping off existing characters. You know, Deadpool is a complete ripoff of Deathstroke, you know, the Terminator, even down to the name. So, like I said, I was very skeptical of it. So I will say, when I got it into my hands today, I was more impressed than I thought I was going to be, although I didn't love it. I thought his art was much improved over the last time I really saw him do anything. Because again, if you just Google the top 10 bad, bad art pages by Rob Liefeld, you'll get 100 websites. I mean, it's really well known for not being a very good artist. So I think that he did a pretty good job with this. Most of the characters had feet, which is a plus, because he's not known for drawing feet.
Sounds like a man after me. Man after my own heart. I hated
Yeah,
feet.
Well, me too. When I used to draw my own comic strips, every panel cut off at the shins.
Yeah.
Because and basically like at the, you know, halfway down the arm and at the shins, because I couldn't draw hands or feet.
Right.
But
well, that's Mr. McPhee used to get on me for that. He'd be that's our art teacher from high school. Right. But yeah, he used to get on me for that, because by the time I got to the feet, he's like, "You've got to learn to put your stuff down, walk away, and come back with a fresh perspective." I'm like, "No, I want to finish it now." He goes, "Yeah, but your feet look like mittens." Like, you can't have that. The rest of it's gorgeous, and then from the knees down, like you fell asleep.
You can't have hands on the bottom of the legs.
It was just like, oh, I hated feet. Hated them.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, so I got to reading it, and, you know, it was fun. And there were some things in it that I thought were funny. I thought the characters, some of the interaction was funny. But it kind of bugged me that there was, everything was X this, or, like, you know, I'm from the X hideout, and the bad guy is X bad guy, and you know, it's like everything was X dash something, which I thought was just so, I don't know, uninspired. Especially since his name is Major X, and it's all about the X-Men. I know you and I joked about it for a second before we started, or I joked about it. Like, it really bothered me when Wolverine hopped into the mix and made the announcement that Wolverine was going to kick his butt or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, so now Wolverine's referring to himself as Wolverine.
See, that's what's funny is I was the exact opposite. I was so enthralled by the story at that point that I was just like, I'm just reading as fast as I could to get to I wanted to see what was going to happen next. And it's not like it's this big mystery, and it's, you know, it's not like it's not like reading like a detective comics where you're like, you're trying to figure out something. Nothing like that. But it was just a very fast paced, fun story that I got enthralled with. And I really, it's funny you say that about the artwork, like not being, having been good in the past. I thought the artwork drew you in. I thought I don't know how to put it, like almost like the artwork was well paced, like the way the pages were laid out. I thought it was, I was very impressed.
Like I said, Google bad Rob Liefeld artwork someday when you have time, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But, you know, everybody evolves. You know, the 90s were 25, 30 years ago. So, you know, obviously he's probably been drawing since then, and people improve. Like, he was very young. Like, Rob Liefeld broke in when he was, like, a teenager.
Right.
So, you know, of course he wasn't going to be super advanced. But like I said, and you know, the bad Deadpool being called Dreadpool, some of it just felt kind of hokey to me.
Right.
But the Deadpool scenes were funny and well written.
And I can't help but read those with what's his
name? Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds' voice in
I know.
My head. It's just
me too.
He just nailed that character. It's like I do the same thing with Tony Stark now too. I mean,
well, right, but yeah, whenever I read Deadpool, it's Ryan Reynolds.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
But yeah, you're right. When I read Iron Man, I hear Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
and I hear Chris Evans when I so.
Batman's the only one that he has. There's so many people doing great voices for Batman, depending on the animated series you see.
There are, but when I read Batman, it's Kevin Conroy.
Yeah,
is who I
well,
hear.
That's what I was going to say. But there are so many that for me, it's not as profound or you know what I mean. It's not as
right because
when I hear it,
it could be Adam West or it could be Christian Bale.
Yeah,
or whatever, it's definitely
a deep voice, you know, it's something like that. But yeah, Kevin Conroy is definitely.
My Joker is Mark Hamill in my
yeah,
and you know, and I loved Heath Ledger. You know, I loved the other ones, but that's what I hear when I read.
Yeah,
you know, when I read them in my mind, that's what I hear. So, so I guess that's enough for Major X. Did you want to touch on War of the Realms a little bit?
Yeah, we'll get into that. That doesn't have to. Well, it doesn't have to be recommended reading, but
no,
we'll
but
just,
it's something that we read.
We'll
today.
Do War of the Realms. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to be spoiler free. Honestly, if you haven't picked this up, I was very, it's long. It's obviously,
yes.
It's a first in it, you know, but it's thick, it's heavy. Here's my thing. This isn't my type of story and I loved it. I'm not,
well, here's what
I'm not
ahead,
into
I to
that
ask
whole,
about
like,
that, actually
the realms part, the same right. with the they even mention it, I think, in here. The Hobbits. What the heck was the name of those movies?
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There you go. That's not my type of thing either. I didn't read the books. I love the movies. But that's not my, like, I'm not a Harry Potter person. I'm not, like, all that fantasy stuff. So I'm not really into that. But this book here, I was excited for it because it's from Marvel. And I was looking for something out of them this summer that would be fun. And this definitely, to me, is that. I'm very much looking forward to, after this one book, the rest of this series and all the spinoffs. I'm very excited about it.
Well, here's the point I wanted to make, and you can actually probably respond to this accurately because I think you fit the mold for this. I've been reading Thor for a couple of years. With Jason Aaron doing the writing, and this is a story he's been building towards for a long time. So I was afraid that you would have to be a deep Thor reader to get into this series. But what struck me as I was reading it is that they did a good enough job of setting everything up so that if you haven't been reading Thor for the last 2 years... because I know I had a lot of customers that were saying that to me that, well, I don't read Thor, so I don't think I'm going to be able to pick this up and read it.
No.
But I felt like it set everything up very well and that you could follow it if you weren't a Thor reader. And I know that you're not a Thor reader.
No.
So how did you find it as far as being able to pick it up and jump in and kind of know what was going on? Because I want to be able to say that to people that feel like they can't pick it up and read it. That I don't think it's an obstacle if you haven't been following along for 2 years.
So, I'm not a Thor reader now, but I know who Thor is.
Well,
and
right,
I knew,
but this
and
particular story.
I knew background of Thor before the MCU. But that being said, I don't think there's a lot of comic book fans that don't know who Thor is, but say your only background was the MCU. I think this book does a good job of, like, you'd be familiar with everything in this book just having followed the three Thor movies. You'd get enough of a background that you'll follow along, and the rest of the story is like Thor is so far. I know it's built around that. Or towards
yeah, he doesn't
that.
Show up a lot.
He doesn't show up a one. Lot, but you can see that that's kind of like the root of the story. But there are so, and obviously we know this, there's going to be so many branches off of this. literally, I mean, the book starts off with it's, you know, the universe is based off of a tree, so duh. There's going to be a crapload of branches off of this summer. The story, never mind the story itself, but there's enough characters in here that if you're a Spider-Man fan, if you're a, you know, and it's all in like the first couple pages, I didn't know what to expect. So, I mean, when I picked this book up, I read everything. I'm like reading like all the writers, all the preview stuff, everything to try and get myself, like, I didn't know where this was coming from.
Right.
And I literally read this in the parking lot after I bought it at 8 o'clock this morning. So yeah. I was done with it by like 8:40. And so it took me 40 minutes to read it, but I went over every nook and cranny. I just absorbed it as much as I could. Because I was looking forward to it. And I was glad I wasn't disappointed. But like I said, this isn't my type of genre, but I really am looking forward to the rest of it. And if you haven't been following Thor, that's not really a big deal. I have a feeling that people that if you really want to, you'll read this and then you'll go back and pick up some Thors.
Right.
I just think it's that good. It's that fun.
Yeah. Like I said, I really enjoyed it, but I kind of wanted to get it from that perspective because, like I said, I had a lot of customers that had some trepidations about picking it up because it is very Thor-centric. You know, most of the big events, you know, for Marvel or DC aren't based that much around one particular character. You know, they're usually,
right,
you know, line-wide things. And I know this is going to bring in the whole, basically the whole Marvel universe, but it is a very Thor-centric story. So, like I said, I had a lot of people that were reluctant to pick it up because they weren't familiar with Thor or Thor readers. So I felt like it did a good job, but I also was reading it knowing that I knew all this stuff already. So I didn't know if my perspective was a little skewed because of that. But like I said, I know that you're not really a big Thor reader and haven't been keeping up with this stuff. So I wanted to get your take on how, like, new reader friendly it was. Because I think it's going to be a great event. Now, whether you have to jump in and buy all the 97 tie-ins to it or not, I don't know yet. But
well,
it was
I would say
start
if you're listening
to
us, I'm going to read them all. I'm sure you will. So,
well, and I own a comic book store, right. So I'm going to tell you that you need to buy every single thing that comes out.
Yeah, but we could be honest and be like, well, you don't have to follow that tangent. You know, you don't. It's a small story off of a story, so it's not really that big a deal.
Well, and honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm joking a little bit because I'm actually very honest with people. I had somebody came in today and asked me about Star Bastard number one, which I read last week and reviewed. And obviously my instinct would be to say, oh, yeah, it was pretty good. Pick it up because I want to sell the book. But I find it more, I'd rather be honest and say, you know what, I didn't really care for it, and they didn't buy it, and that's fine. But they're not going to go home and say, oh, yeah, well, he told me to buy this crappy book, and now I'm not going to go back there and buy anything else. So,
right.
I feel like it doesn't serve me to tell people, just to make a $3 sale. So I am joking a little bit.
That'll kill our credibility, too, if we start recommending stuff that, I mean, I can honestly, I mean, if people don't like something I recommend, I get that. But
I don't recommend something if I don't actually like
it.
I get the fact that you may not like it, but I don't feel like I misled you because I really liked it and I gave my honest opinion. But if I'm like, I hated it, but I'm telling you, yeah, you need to buy it because it was great. Well, then I can't even tell myself that I did the right thing because, I didn't really like it. So, all right. So I guess that's, I mean, that's it for the comic books this week, I guess.
Yeah, that should do. That will get into some more comic conversation.
Yeah.
That's our fun little play on words there.
Yeah, I like that.
For when we don't have a big topic, but we just like to hang out and talk comics.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, what did you think of the Joker trailer, or did you even see it?
I did see it. I watched it because, like I said, you know how I feel about trailers, but I will always watch the first trailer just to get a sense of, you know, how I think the movie's going to be. I have mixed feelings about this trailer.
Interesting.
I actually, I actually, so I think they did a good job with it, and I am intrigued for the movie, but inherently, this is not a movie that I want, because I don't want to see the Joker's origin story spelled out for me in this movie.
Oh my God. Because I swear to God, everybody, origin, we haven't talked. Yeah. That, I swear to God, we haven't talked. Right. I have my brother call me today to talk me down. Not talk me down, right. But I'll tell you that. You go on with what you were saying.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I don't...
We're
like
mirror images right now.
The biggest thing about the Joker, right, is that you don't know. Like, you just don't know really who he is, where he came from. Did he fall in the vat of acid? Did he do that? Like, you just don't really know. So, and I get that this is a different take, and this could be, you know, a completely alternate universe Joker or what have you. Because he's not really tied into the DCEU. Although Bruce Wayne was in the trailer, supposedly. So,
yeah, that's my brother.
There is a Batman theme. But so I you're right. So I get the sense that you feel pretty much the same way I do. Like, I like Joaquin Phoenix, and I think he himself is a little bit of a lunatic. So I think he'll do a great job. And
I
like I said, that parts of it, like, the I think look really good, like, it's intriguing, but I just don't really want this movie.
Did you see my tweet yesterday? Did you see that I put out
about the Joker?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
And I said I'm so mixed on this. Like, I am excited for the movie because it is a comic book movie. I will be there opening night.
Oh, and I'm right, and I'll see it. Like, there's no doubt.
I'm gonna be there opening night. I'm excited for it in that way. But I mean, I can't stress it enough how much I feel exactly like you do. It's like, the Joker to me, and you see these. Who's the greatest villain in, you know, comic books? Who's this? It's to me. Hands down, without a question, I will argue with anybody, it's the Joker. It's because he has no backstory. He has no reason to write that and survive. But to have that be such an iconic character all of these years, and he has no purpose whatsoever. People are missing that point.
He's just a force of nature. That's it.
He's a freak of nature. And it's... Right. I don't want to find out that he was, like, abused as a child, or he was this or that. I don't want to find out that there was a reason for him being like that. I like the fact that, no, maybe he was born this way. Maybe, as Alfred said in, what, The Dark Knight Returns or whatever, Dark Knight, in, you know, he just wants to see the world burn. Maybe he's just psychotic, and I don't want a backstory. And what happens with these movies, to me, is what I'm afraid of, is that all of a sudden you get that this is the definitive Joker.
Right.
And everybody goes, well, you know the Joker. No, that isn't what happened with that's just one version. Very similar to how in the Christopher Nolan series, Batman wasn't supposed to kill anybody. And so now that's the definitive Batman. He never kills. But now you see arguments everywhere like, yeah, he actually has killed. But people don't know that. They think it's all, you know, yeah, there are incarnations where that is his mantra, whatever, that he's not supposed to kill. But he's been around a long time. He's killed a few times. It happens. But so now you have people arguing over it, like, no, he doesn't. What are you arguing over? Some people can, you know, you can make a Batman that kills. You can make a Batman that doesn't kill. It doesn't change anything. So I think that's what's going to – that to me, especially with all this hype around Batman and everything right now, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen with the Joker. It's going to become the definitive Joker, and everybody's going to just point to that, and that'll kind of ruin that what makes him special to me.
Right. Well, right. Like, if you go back to the, you know, the Heath Ledger, you know, Christopher Nolan movie, to me, the best part of that was that, you know, he told three different stories in that movie about the scars on his face.
Right. How he got to where he was.
and you don't know if any of those three are even the truth or which one of them's the truth.
Right.
You don't even know if he knows the truth.
Right.
But the fact is, you just don't know, and you'll never know. You don't end up, you don't find out by the end of that movie. You don't know anything more when it ends than you know when it started. And, you know, that's the Joker, you know?
Yep.
I mean, Batman's the world's greatest detective, and in 80 years, he hasn't figured out who the Joker is. So, like, that's his biggest question. Like, back at the end of the New 52 Justice League run, you know, Batman gets the, you know, sits in the God chair and gets basically omnipotence. And, you know, you put yourself in that situation where you could know the answer to anything and think about what questions you would want to answer. You know, how do I end world hunger or blah, blah, blah. What Batman wanted to know is who's the Joker.
Right.
You know, so like that's the number one thing on his mind. The world's greatest detective is, you know, who's the Joker? Where does he come from? So I don't want to know that answer. Like I don't.
Right.
Like I said, I don't care. I don't care to ever know. So
that scene in the scene, I call it, in the wedding.
Yeah.
Or I think it was leading up to that with him and you and I talked about it a few weeks ago, around Valentine's Day, I believe it, with him and Selena.
Yeah.
And
yeah. That issue, like issue 49. Basically.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it was the issue right before the wedding there. Yeah. And he was just so psychotic, but yeah. At the same time, the respect that he had for Batman, the respect he had for Selena, you know, and
right.
Just the, they need each other, that whole relationship. But he's also just like, just crazy, out of his mind. Right. But there's no reason, there's no rhyme or reason to anything he does, so he's unpredictable. If right. You start making a backstory, he becomes predictable. Because, it, right. You know what I mean? It's like you can, that's why I have mixed emotions. I'm not saying the movie's going to be bad.
No, I'm not either. I actually think it'll be good. But
my mixed emotions are whether this movie should have been made at all.
Right.
You know, and I mean, look at the, you know, you've got Joaquin Phoenix, you've got De Niro, what's her name? From Deadpool 2.
Oh, Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz. And, yeah, Scorsese.
And Martin Scorsese. Right.
It's going to be. Right. I've seen stuff where they're like comparing it to Taxi Driver and they're saying, oh, you know, all of this. It's going to be good, I think. Right. But I'm fearful of what's on the other side of this being a really good movie of that with the Joker. So the trailer was pretty good.
Yeah. That's the most we've well, I mean, I guess we did a whole show on the Endgame trailer, but I mean, that's the most we've really talked about any trailer.
Yeah, but it was more about, it's just the movie itself to me. We haven't really talked about it, and that's right. Why. It's funny, you know, when we do these, we don't do a lot of show prep, people. We just, right. We're like, we sit down and literally, this is what it's like if I just, you know, if I'm literally walking into a store. This is why we came up with this podcast, because this is what we do. But it's,
we don't even know what we're going to talk about really until we get started.
No, so. Yeah. So, but it's funny that neither of us have talked about the Joker movie up until now, because right. I think we both had that feeling that like I don't want this.
Right.
It's like, but I mean, we're going to get it whether we like it or not.
Well, right, it's coming, and like you said, we're both going to be sitting there on opening night. And watching it and probably liking it. Like
so,
I said, it looks good.
My brother kind of talked me down, made me feel a little better. He said he came up with a good idea that I hope that they do. And he agrees with us. When I told him what I felt like, he was like, yeah, I understand that. I feel the same way now that you put it that way. But he said, what if at the end of this movie, it's open ended, like, this is all in the whole movie could be in his mind, or
right.
And it's like there is no answer. Like right. How many times have we read some of these nightmare comics from Batman, and at the end you're like, what the hell was that? Like,
right.
You know, and so it's like, what if at the end of this movie you're just like, you walk out of there going, that was crazy. I have no idea what that meant, which would be
right.
Exactly what it would be like to see what the Joker is. Like, and we know it could all be a joke. It could all be a joke at the end of the movie.
Right. We know the trailers are misleading, so.
Right.
Right. We don't really know.
So I'm hopeful that is kind of how they do it. If they respect the character the way that we're saying that we do, or that we look at it. I mean, I say I respect the character. It's not our character. That's just how I feel about it. I just hope that, you know, and I think a lot of people do. I think that, you know, it's.
Right. We could be completely off base and maybe we won't know anything.
Right.
But.
So. And is this the first villain to get his own standalone?
I guess it depends on how you look at Venom, I guess.
Well, he's an
anti-hero. Venom's kind of like
the
anti-hero now, but definitely started as a villain. But yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't think of another.
Yeah, but that's the thing is there are versions even in the comics of Venom being an anti-hero.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. But he didn't start that way. Like, he started out definitely as a villain.
Right, but the Joker has never been an anti-hero. He has
never
been.
No, he's always been. Right. That's what I'm saying. I think I can't think of any other character.
Right. My brother said Catwoman, but I'm like, that's kind of an anti-hero, too.
She's kind of an anti-hero, too. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
Well, you could even
say dating Batman.
You could say the Suicide Squad. Technically, they're all supervillains. But Task Force.
Yeah,
X
but that's
is
not
being,
a. But that's not a standalone either.
It's not a standalone. And Task Force X. It's hard to say fast when you. You know, it's being manipulated by Amanda Waller to do good things. But technically, they're all villains. So. But the thing is, anytime we've seen a lead villain in any type of movie, they've had some redeeming qualities. Like, because we always want to feel like the movie we're seeing is about somebody good. I don't think we're going to get that with the Joker. Like, there'll be no redeeming qualities. But I feel like they're going to try to overcompensate for that by making him sympathetic. And that's what you and I were just saying that I don't really want to see. Like you said, I don't want to feel bad for him because he was abused by his dad or, you know, this or that happened. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but.
Yeah. I just. All right. All right. I have Supergirl. Are you caught up?
I am caught up with Supergirl.
What do you think of John Cryer?
You know, I like him, actually. I was a little hesitant when he was cast as Lex Luthor. I mean, I always liked, you know, of course, I've watched Two and a Half Men, and he played Ducky.
Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, Pretty in Pink. So I wasn't sure how he was going to be as Lex Luthor, but so far he's been good, and I like the character. I mean, I never thought we'd see Lex Luthor wearing his armor.
Yeah.
On TV.
That was
awesome.
Yeah, that was surprising.
That was awesome. I'm still not loving the season, you know, overall.
Really?
I feel like it's way too political and too topical for – I think it's pushing an agenda too much.
Yep.
I do like that they're adapting the Red Sun storyline somewhat.
Yeah.
And it feels like now we're kind of moving away from the Children of Liberty and, like, we're going to finish off the season with, you know, it's really going to be Lex.
He's only got one left. Did you know that?
He's only got one left? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, they, DC or whoever has the rights to Luthor, which I guess would be DC, they only signed off for 3 episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know that at all. So maybe that's not the case then.
Right.
But it's definitely going to be a red, you know, red daughter slash. Yeah.
So that,
I mean, there's not that many episodes left for the season anyways,
no.
I think. So.
But that's why I was kind of glad. Like, I thought this week was going to be the last week of Lex. But the way they did it, you saw he wasn't in this week's. So they could extend it. You know, they could keep him on the outskirts.
Right, it's not 3 consecutive episodes.
Right. He's just signed on to play 3 episodes.
Right.
And that's
but they can talk about him all they want. So.
Right. So I thought, I mean, the way they – at first, like when he first came in, you were still kind of like 2 and a Half Men-ish.
Yeah.
Because in your head, you know, you're like – but – and, yeah, he's only been in 2 episodes and – I think halfway through the first one, he's kind of like he sucked me in. It's like yeah. you really, and he is, I think I love what they're doing with the, how devious he is. How smart he is.
He's very Wilson Fisk from Daredevil, yeah. you know what I mean?
Like, I would say.
Even though we just met him in the show, he's been behind the scenes for a long time.
Right.
You just haven't known about it.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I thought was really cool, how they, I mean, it goes way back. Like, he's mm-hmm. been pulling strings for years that yep. we didn't know, that you don't know about, and they retconned it or whatever by doing some flashbacks and stuff like that with him. And, like, all of these things that happened on the show, you now see were, like, his doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, nothing to do with John Cryer. I'm saying the character of Lex Luthor, the way they manipulated that and how smart they made him. How about that scene when he's leaving the prison? I mean, he's not supposed to.
But he's just leaving.
But he's walking out of the prison, and there's like what, five cells he walks by, and every one he yells out like a chess move.
Right.
Like it'll be like rook to like e6 or whatever, and they'll be and all five of them, and they all lose. It's like checkmate
yeah,
on
right.
all
then
of them.
Then he gets to the end, just, and he goes checkmate. Yeah,
right.
It was awesome.
And they're all just like, ugh, and it, you know. But it just that there were a few other scenes where it just showed like his genius and Miss Testmacher. That was awesome when he yelled when he yelled for her.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Well, and you've got Otis and Miss Testmacher, which you know
Otis is
old school
such
Superman.
An idiot. He's that poor guy. When you get cast for that, you just be like, oh man,
it's like oh, I'm the Ned Beatty of this of this show now.
I was gonna say he's Howie from The Fall Guy,
right? Oh yeah,
or Woody from Cheers.
Yeah,
but yeah, it just awful. But yeah, I hope they sign him for more. I hope they allow, like, I hope the character takes off.
I guess I hope they allow him to do more.
That's what I mean. They allow it for more. Like, obviously, we all know we love Lex Luthor as a character, but I mean, I hope it gets reviewed well, and then DC says, "Look, we'll give it. It'll give the show the bump, and it'll let them." Let him play it some more. Because I've seen a few interviews with him. He actually did Inside of Me with Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, yeah?
If you haven't heard that, listen to that. I think that's where I heard he's only signed on for three. He was only allowed to do three. That's what he said.
Well, he was in Superman 3.
Four.
Also, four.
Four,
four,
yeah. Yeah. He talks about that, too.
Yeah, he's got some Superman roots.
But if you want, that's a really good episode of that podcast, John Cryer on Michael Rosenbaum, and he gets into a lot of stuff. And the reason he had him on is because Michael Rosenbaum played Lex Luthor in Smallville. So he says right at the beginning of the podcast, he goes, "Hey, I had him on because two Lex Luthors in the room. You know, I thought that would be cool." Right. But they go into the whole Two and a Half Men thing too, and talk about Charlie Sheen behind the scenes and all of that. It's a really good podcast, but a lot of good Lex Luthor information in there. It's a fun one for that.
I just kind of thought that, you know, they've done such a great job of reintegrating these actors back into the Arrowverse, you know, with, you know, Dean Cain and Helen Slater and all these characters back, that I really, when I heard Lex was coming back, I really thought Michael Rosenbaum should come back and be Lex, and that would be awesome.
Yeah.
He's done a great job.
If you think about it, though, they haven't brought anybody back as that character.
No, they haven't, but he's still of age. Like, you couldn't bring Dean Cain back as Clark Kent because he's too old.
No.
Or, you know what I'm saying? But Michael Rosenbaum has aged appropriately that if he came in now as Lex, you would still believe it.
I think he's actually younger. He's younger than John Cryer.
Well, he might be, but he could still be an age-appropriate Lex Luthor.
Well, I think John Cryer said he was like 55 or something, and Michael Rosenbaum, I think, is like our age.
Yeah, I think
maybe
he's
a little
like
younger.
Late 40s.
Yeah, something
like
that.
Mid to late 40s, I would think, yeah. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I thought that would have been a cool nod to get him back in. But
so
the
one issue with that though is the continuity. Where if you brought him back, then why didn't you bring, you know, do you bring back anybody else like the Aquaman? Do you bring back, like, right. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's either you bring them all back or you bring none of them back. Because if you stop bringing other people back, then it kind of, you want the show to be on its own. You know, you want it to be separate from Smallville. Whereas if you put that link in there, now it's in the Smallville universe, but it's really
not. Well, we already have the Smallville universe, though, because of Crisis. So, you know, we kind of have that, right? We had the farm and the theme song. So,
well, yeah, but I'm saying the characters, the people portraying them. It's like, right. I mean, that literally that Smallville universe, the TV show, and it's right. Like you don't want them to be the same. So,
so speaking of Arrowverse, you know, Felicity's leaving Arrow.
Yeah,
10 episodes before the end. It seems odd to me that she would do that.
The good news is she's not going to die because you see her in the future.
Well, you know, here proving our point once again, you know, why we exist at all is that, you know, the hate that poured out on social media for her after she announced that she was leaving.
Really?
You know, every comment I read was like, thank God she's gone. Now I can watch the show again. She completely ruined the show. Like, everybody hates her as a character.
Well, but you know,
which is,
yeah, there's a,
like I said, it's just really toxic and negative, but.
So here's,
I don't know why you, I guess the point I was trying to get to when I said that was, you know, most of the comments were like, I hope they kill her off or this or that, the other thing.
So they're not watching the show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That to me made me think, why are you even writing this comment? Because you obviously don't watch the show. Because we already have the fast forward and we already know what happens to her. So even if she doesn't come back for those 10 episodes, we know the resolution of her story.
Right.
Because like, we already have it.
Right.
So, you know, we know she leaves, you know, she leaves to go raise her daughter. And
goes into hiding.
Her. Right. So she doesn't die. She's not going to get killed off. But that was my point is like, why are you commenting on her leaving the show that you don't even watch?
Right.
Because, you know, you can't hate her that much if you don't even watch it.
Right.
You know?
Well.
But
that's been for years. You know, I follow a lot of Arrow on Twitter. I always have. I've loved that show since day one. Again, I love Bow and Arrow. when I heard that show was even starting, I was excited for that.
Right.
Small, you know, quick backstory to my Arrow history. I actually didn't like it at the very beginning.
Yeah.
The first couple episodes were too Dark Knight-ish. I mean, it mirrored the Dark Knight, even, you know, Ra's al Ghul, everything. I was like, oh, come on. This is just like the Dark Knight for TV. Right. You know, the Christopher Nolan series for TV. But, you know, obviously it didn't take me long. I was just, I got hooked. I thought, you know, as the story grew, I thought it was really, really well done over the years. There were some slow parts, but
yeah, it's had its ups and downs,
but the one thing that's always been prevalent on social media is the people that love the whole Felicity storyline and the people that hate the Felicity storyline.
Right.
And it's always just been the reason that show has such success and has had such success is because of Felicity, because it's not just a guys shoot 'em up show.
Right.
So the Felicity character brings the female viewers in, and I think always did. And
Sam and Ladder brings the female viewers in.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, but see, the thing is the what really showed that off was Felicity and her getting like all like, ooh, like, oh, yeah. I is he working out again? Oh, I just happened to be here. So that, you know, that gave the female viewers somebody to relate to in the show. And it's kind of like the reason Titanic was so successful in the box office is because it had, you know, this massive devastation that, you know, a Neanderthal guy like us could be like, yeah, we'll go and see that. Ship's going to sink. Cool. But then it had the love story that, you know, it was like the women would be like, oh, yay. So it had that. Even my parents saw that twice in the theater and they don't go to the movies.
Right.
Because they, you know, my mom wanted to see that. My dad's like, ship's sinking. I'll go. Right. And But that's, I think that's the Arrow, you know, Arrow has had that same appeal. And you get those people that, you know, on either end of it that are like, I could really do without that, you know, the whatever they call them together, Felicity or whatever.
Alicity.
Alicity, yeah. See, I don't even, but, oh, I could do without that storyline. It's like, well, yeah, because you just want to see more explosions. I get that, right. But. So I don't even pay attention to that. I didn't even see any of that, to be honest with you. I was surprised to hear you say that. I haven't heard of it yet.
She has irritated me some over the years, but so has Oliver, so has Diggle. Like, they all have had their ups and downs. Like, not every season has been the best.
Right.
But she hasn't annoyed me any more than anybody else has. Like, I don't dislike her as a character or the whole storyline. I actually enjoy the storyline.
I loved her at the beginning when she really would like stick her foot in her mouth and like she would just say inappropriate stuff.
Yeah, I think as she's gone along, and of course, you know, they want to make her, you know, a strong character and all that stuff. But like some of the things that have happened more recently, you know, she gets on my nerves a little bit. But I didn't want to see her leave the show. And it just, I was just a little bit more surprised that. It's like, why would you go now? Like, I don't understand. You've got basically 10 episodes left. Why would you not finish it out? Because I also heard that Katie Cassidy was leaving at the end of this season. So
again?
Now we go into next year, with no, you know, with no Laurel Lance, no Felicity. You know, on a show that's basically wrapping itself up, you want to kind of see all these people. You know, when a series is ending and you've been watching it a long time, you know, you kind of want to see how all the characters end up when the show's over.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll see an ending for these guys, but I don't know. It just, I feel a little gypped that, you know, she's leaving 10 episodes before the series ends. But I guess it is what it is. I know I'm, somewhat of the minority there, or at least. Considering what people say on Twitter and social media.
No, I agree with you. I was disappointed to see that she's leaving. But I kind of see the story. I get the story. I know, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's the way the story is going to play out. It's, you know, she's pregnant. She's got to protect the child, her daughter. And then, you know, so that's where she's going. I just think it'll be interesting if any of these characters pop up after the 10 episodes, like, you know, show up as guest spots in any of the Arrowverse shows.
Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but way back in, I don't know, what was it, January, when we talked about this year's crossover event, we both speculated that Oliver was going to die in Crisis.
Right.
And that's probably still what's going to happen. Like, I think he's going to die in Crisis. So I don't think we'll see him popping up in the Arrowverse anymore.
Well,
but, right. I wonder. I thought maybe we'd see Felicity, or maybe we'd see, you know, Laurel or some of these other characters at least pop up every once in a while on Flash or something. You
but
know?
See, they can always pop up from alternate universes too.
Well, right. Well, and so could it. So could Oliver, really.
Exactly. That's my point. It's he could be popped. I don't know if he's truly going to die, meaning like he might die in Crisis, but did he? You know, it's going to be one of those things where he could, you know, people.
Well, right. Every version of him won't die.
Right.
You know, if we have a multiverse, you know, every version of him doesn't die, obviously. So.
Right.
But then I kind of feel like that's cheating, though. Like, if his show ends and he dies in Crisis. I mean, again, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to see him again.
Yeah,
because I feel like it's cheating. You know,
I just don't want to see him die. I don't need the show to go on, but I don't want to see him die because
right.
He didn't. He's not dead in the comics. He's still going there.
Well, right, but you know, I mean, if there's meaning there, and he, you know, he sacrifices it, like, you know, the way it was set up in this year's crossover is that he's basically sacrificed himself for. Everybody else. And, you know, if it's a heroic ending, then, you know, I'm fine with it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see him step off a curb and get hit by a bus because that's meaningless, you know what I mean? But, you know,
that's very nice of you.
if he get yeah right, but if he gets the hero's death, you know, and it has meaning, then I feel like it's cheap. It cheapens that later on if he just pops up, in,
right?
You know, in a crossover as a different version of himself. You know, I feel like it undoes the, you know, the sacrifice.
Well, what's
of the character? In, so.
What's funny is if you listen, I've been paying obviously close attention to any of the future events on Arrow, right. And they never say that he died.
They never say that he died, but you don't know where he is either.
Right.
Like, you don't know anything.
I have a feeling that he just goes missing. One of those, right. Like, he sacrifices himself, similar to Barry in the Speed Force, like he right. did a couple of seasons ago, where, I mean, when he, obviously you knew he was coming back after, you know, he was in the Speed Force for the summer. But
right, right. It, well, we knew he was coming back because he was going to be back for the next season, right?
Right, but the idea in that was he was supposed to be sacrificing himself forever.
Right.
And they obviously figured out a way to get him out. Well, right. There's no reason they couldn't they do the same type of deal with Oliver and just be like 20, 30 years in the future, he gets out. Or right. whatever, because there has been a storyline already where they went way into the future and Oliver had the one arm.
Yep.
So yep. That exists. So is that timeline erased or do we, you know, we don't know. And that's the problem with time travel. So. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the season. I am going to miss, you know, Felicity. 2 years. Well, how many years ago was it that they opened the season with the funeral? And yeah. Remember, and Oliver got in the limo, and you didn't know who died, so you went through the whole season knowing that it was going to end at a funeral, and it ended up being Laurel.
Right.
But that whole season, I was like, I remember the first thing I thought when he got in the limo, and you don't know who it was, I was like, oh, I hope they're not killing off Felicity.
Right.
I really wanted to see that relationship. You know, work itself through, and they weren't married yet, obviously. Right. But, you know, I was, you know, I was intrigued. I was, you know, sucked into that relationship. So, but hey, show's coming to an end. So I'm sure I'm sure it'll get strong by the time this ends. Right now I'm ready for it to end, but I think after the 10 episodes, I think they'll finish strong and you'll be like, oh, I wish it wasn't ending. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah, of course. But I am ready. Like, we kind of speculated that, you know, we were, you know, for the last two seasons, really, you've wondered how many more seasons the show was going to go.
Right.
Anyways, you know, we've kind of known, or at least had an inkling that it was going to end soon. And, you know, we both kind of thought that Crisis was going to be, you know, would be the end of Arrow. You know, when we talked about it during that last crossover. So, turns out that we were right.
Yeah, I wonder if Crisis will be the last one, though. I'm wondering if they'll do, like...
I don't know. Well, yeah, again, we're just guessing that it is, but...
Could they do, like, 8, then Crisis, and then 2? Or I mean, Crisis will be the, like, one of them?
Of
and then you'll have a final episode to say goodbye without Ollie there and all of that, you know?
Yeah, they obviously they could. Well, but then who's left to say goodbye? Because Felicity will be gone and Laurel will be gone.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe Felicity comes back for that. Maybe, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, we don't really know. I'm just guessing in my head that Crisis is the end. But yeah, it could go on for 3 episodes after that. We don't really know.
Right.
We just kind of know. I think we know for sure that it's only 10 episodes, though.
We do know that. Yeah. So when we see the schedule.
Right.
On when the shows are going to be released, we'll have an idea because then we'll also find out when Crisis is taking place.
Right.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. So, you got anything else for this week?
A couple things, actually.
Cool. What do you got?
Well, there's some big news from DC Universe this week. Couple different stories broke. The first one being the basically the dropping of DC's digital comic library onto DC Universe.
Yeah.
They're dropping like 20,000
like
comics.
Like everything, practically,
it's pretty much
right?
everything. new issues 12 months after release, which as a comic book store owner, I really appreciate getting a year's head start before it shows up on their app.
Yeah. I'm surprised they wait that long. I thought Marvel is
6 months. The Marvel Unlimited app is 6 months after release. They show up on the app. So yeah. I was thinking something similar on DC. So again, I'm of two minds on that, you know, cause as a reader, I don't want to wait 12 months to read the new issues, but, as a retailer, I really appreciate that. But, you know, they've been criticized a bit because their comic selection has been pretty sporadic on the DC Universe. And, you know, they had instances where you could start a storyline, but you couldn't finish it because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't available.
Right.
So having, you know, basically having their entire library dropped is really, really cool. I am, you know, again, to go back to a retailer perspective, I'm a little concerned about how that affects like graphic novel sales and things like that. Because, you know, I guess the first argument would be, well, Marvel's doing it. They've been doing it with their Marvel Unlimited app for a long time. But I don't feel like the Marvel Unlimited app is as widespread as the DC Universe is going to be. You know, being a Netflix type platform, I think ultimately a lot more people will have DC Universe. So I'm just wondering now, it's like, well, I don't have to go buy, you know, the Killing Joke or the Judas Contract or any of these big storylines because now I'll just be able to read them on DC Universe. You know, if I want to read The Watchmen, I don't have to go buy it. I'll just be able to read it. So, I am a little concerned from that perspective, but I've read,
I wouldn't say quite a bit on the DC Universe, but I've read enough that it's good. And the same with the Marvel. If I pick up an old, like, if I can't find the book, you know, I'm in the middle of something and I want to look back and read something old, I'll buy the books. And if I can't find it, I'll go and buy it on digitally. But,
well,
there's something to be said for having the book in hand.
And no, you're
especially
right.
Especially with some of, like, remember I talked about Flashpoint and what were those, like, the Ultimate Editions or the Ultimate Flat, whatever it was. And I bought the Killing Joke as well.
Right.
And you flip through and I'd read both of them in the past, but I still bought the book again because it just looked so good.
Well, but I feel like that holds true for the comics because, you know, as a collector, you know, you want the physical comic, you want the old smell, the newsprint, you know, you want all that stuff to be tangible because it's a collector, you know, you collect your comics. But people don't really collect graphic novels. Graphic novels really only exist to read. You know, they're not inherently valuable. So
yeah.
I don't think it translates the same way. Like, you could get the same experience by reading it on the DC Universe as you could by reading a graphic novel. The collectability, like, you'll never kill, like, digital comics will never kill paper comics because people, there's collectors and you can't collect digital objects.
Right.
But for the trade paperback and the graphic novel sales, which, you know, is a significant portion of business for, like, a comic book store. They sell, you know, I sell tons of graphic novels, so I don't want to see those sales go away. But, you know, unselfishly, I think it's a great thing for the DC Universe app to be able to have all those things.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to help the long-term viability of that. And then, like you mentioned, which I hadn't even thought of till you brought it up, but yeah, that's great because if I'm reading an old comic book and let's say I'm reading an old Batman comic and I get to something where it has the asterisk and it says, see Justice League number 172.
Right.
Well, now I could just pop on the DC Universe and pull up Justice League 172 and read it. I don't have to go try to track that down somewhere. So it'll kind of work as like the encyclopedia reference guide for me.
And I think it sells comics as well because, what did I read? Batwoman. I bought a bunch of Batwomans because I saw it on there. I read a couple issues and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go find those. And I started reading the more, and that's how I got into it.
Right.
I think, you know, you flip through and yeah, that's a great way. Like you said, and with your phone, you can speak it into it.
right,
and search, and it'll come up. But it's, you know, I think it's going to be good. Like you said, it'll be good for the DC universe, definitely.
Right. It's definitely going to be good.
I think it's
for
actually going to be good for the retailers too, because I think it's going to drive more people to the books.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. So they also, we got Stargirl. We got our first official image of Stargirl. Not a character I'm super familiar with. Wasn't even really, I mean, I was looking forward to it because it, you know, it's a live action show that was going to be on the DC universe. So of course I was going to watch it, but you know, I wasn't like super excited for it, but I'm more excited now. I think that, you know, I think that shot looked awesome, you know? You know, of course, it's very Captain America-esque. You know, a lot of people were commenting that it's just Captain America with long blonde hair. But,
yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it looked really cool. And, you know, I'm actually excited to watch that show. You know, I was intrigued because, you know, Geoff Johns is the writer and the character has, you know, he has a special relationship with that character, you know, created her because of his sister, I guess, who passed away. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I thought that part of it intrigued me already because I knew that the show was going to be made with a lot of love, you know, by somebody that really cared about the character. But like I said, once I saw the image, I got a little bit more excited. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Swamp Thing. I'm looking forward to Stargirl. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of Doom Patrolled out. It's crazy.
It's weird. Yeah.
It's so crazy and weird. I'm not saying it's bad.
No.
I'm just saying it's like, when I say I'm Doom Patrolled out, it doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching the show.
No,
I mean, I want something more grounded.
Yeah.
I want, you know, and Stargirl, I hope she's more grounded.
Well,
you know
more,
I mean?
Yeah, more grounded we're not going to get with Swamp Thing, I don't think.
No,
but
it'll be more grounded than Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? It has to be. It's like, you know, Elastic Man is more grounded than Doom Patrol.
Right, but the only thing I'll say is the Doom Patrol show is very Doom Patrol. Like, I mean...
Oh, yes!
Like, if you read Doom Patrol, I mean, that's what it is. So...
I understand.
No,
that.
I know
and,
you're right.
And
I know
I like
you,
that.
I know you do, but
I feel like
I get where you're coming from. Like it's a little bit. I don't want to say it's a slog because it's not hard to watch.
No,
but
every episode's entertaining.
It's super
entertaining.
I
laugh at every episode. Row up, oh my god, the language. It's
but
like,
I don't have the same feeling
so
for it as I did for Titans.
No.
You know, I don't anticipate it as much as Titans. Like, if I don't watch it on Friday night right away, I'm not, like, jonesing for it. Like,
nope.
I know I'll get to it. But
right.
I know for you, you were up first thing in the morning watching Titans on Friday.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, something that was, we really looked forward to.
And I started that way with Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife really liked Doom Patrol the first episode. So then we started watching them. We had to watch them on our schedule, so she wasn't home early Friday mornings, so we started backing up, and it's even still, it's like if my wife liked Titans, I would have watched it Friday morning and then watched it again with her.
Right.
Doom Patrol, I'm like, I'll wait and watch it with her.
Right.
And
you don't want to watch
and
it
again
twice.
I'm not saying I don't like the show. I like the show. I think the show would actually have been better served if they put it out along with another show, like almost like after what you need something to cleanse the palate.
Right.
It's so dark at times. And how many episodes could we say like this show should really just be called Crazy Jane?
Yeah. She seems like
the whole show is revolving
the
around
the main character really in a lot of
characters.
Respects.
Right. All
well,
of her,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I
characters.
Mean? She's what 63 of them or whatever.
Yeah. And I would say arguably Robot Man is the main character, but like she definitely feels like the central plot point of every episode.
But yeah,
here's what I don't understand about the Doom Patrol. Why are none of them getting any older? Like,
you have this thing with age. You did that a couple weeks ago with Captain
is,
Marvel. It's like
Well, but
you
look, but...
own a comic book store. Unfortunately, you're aging, but none of the people in the books are.
Well, but not
you gotta let that go.
But not even no, but not even in context with the show. Like we've seen Niles back in World War II, and we've seen him in 2019, and he looks exactly the same. We've seen Crazy Jane back in the 60s. Like last episode, we had the original Doom Patrol, who at the end of the show were all 80 years old. But Jane is
gotta let it go.
She's still like 25. Like
you gotta let it go.
I don't understand why they're not getting any older.
They're superheroes.
She's not a super baby. Like she's not super de-aging lady. Like
you have got to let this go.
No, it's like, I can't. I can't let it go, man.
Then you must have been all excited to see Tony Stark all gray haired up in that scene in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, finally, older. Somebody's aging.
Somebody's getting older. Damn it.
I think you're having a midlife crisis there, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I still look like I'm 20, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you have a face for podcasting.
I just looked really shitty when I was 20.
yeah, that's... Oh, who's the actor that's like that? Oh, they said that about Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Did you see the stand-up?
Well, he said gray hair. He's had gray hair for 50 years.
Yeah,
so.
They're like, you've looked like a 70-year-old man since you were 30. Right. So it's like you
haven't
aged a bit.
When
you're
20, you should dye your hair gray. And then that way, you know, when you're old, people will tell you how good you look.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they've been saying. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to let that go.
Some of the casting for season 2 of Titans.
Yeah.
You know, they've cast Ravager. Which is really cool.
When are they? When is it? That's supposed to be out in the fall.
Should be out in October, I'm guessing.
When do they start filming? I thought they already filmed part of it. I think they may have.
Here's what I'm wondering with this, because they've cast all of basically Deathstroke and Ravager, and it seems like they may be leading into, you know, like the Judas Contract type of storyline with Titans. But I'm wondering what that means for Trigon. Because, you know, when we end season one, like, you expect season two, the whole season, to be, you know, the battle with Trigon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I don't think it's going to work out that way.
I think they're going to wrap that up in, like, the first three and then go
right
into
another story.
That's what
I'm saying. So now I'm hoping that it's not, like, one episode and done, because Trigon's too powerful of a character to get... you know, excuse my language, but I just don't want to see him get bitch slapped, you know, in the first episode, and then he's gone. You know, like he's the demon. You know, he's like supposed to be all powerful, and it should take them, you know, multiple episodes to defeat this guy,
or at least a battle.
Right. So I'm wondering where Deathstroke and all these other characters are going to fit into the equation. It just makes me. I don't want to say nervous, but it just makes me cautious on how they're going to wrap up that whole storyline, you know, with Trigon. Or maybe they're fighting Trigon and Deathstroke at the same time. I don't know, but
I'm wondering if they had like an epiphany in the middle of season one, in that instead of wrapping up a story at the end of a season, you wrap up a story in the middle of a season. And then you start the next story, so then the viewer is then hooked for season two. You know what I mean? And it's like, or season three now going forward.
And again, for all we know, we might not see Deathstroke or Ravager until the last episode.
Right.
You know, we don't know. But
I feel like the way season one went and the way it ended, it almost felt like, and from what I've heard after the fact, we had that whole snafu with how many episodes are there.
Right.
They shorted one. It was supposed to be 12. Now it's 11. And then it felt like they threw one in there that wasn't really supposed to be there. So I feel like they had it. Like I said, they came up with this idea, like we could wrap this whole story up by 12. But then what's bringing the viewer back for season two other than just like, hey, we're back. So I think that would be kind of a cool idea is like, why does the season have to end wrapped up?
Right.
You know,
well,
so
you don't want you don't want it to be wrapped up. Most shows don't wrap up on a season because,
well, they finish the main storyline.
They finish the main story, but there's always a hook or a cliffhanger. Or
they
something
beat the baddie,
to bring you
and
back.
Then Barry has to go into the Triforce or the, not the Triforce, but the
Speed Force.
Speed Force. And, yeah, so.
I don't know. Like I said, the more I see, like, I'm excited for the casting, and I'm excited for these characters, like Superboy coming in. I'm just wondering how it all is going to fit. Like I said, I don't want to see it just, you know, they start with episode one, they beat Trigon, and then they move on to whatever, because that feels very anticlimactic to a bad guy that's as powerful. You know, it's like, you know, we're getting ready to go watch Endgame, right? And Thanos is like the big, ultra-powerful thing, and we know Endgame's a three-hour movie. Like, how much of a jip would it be if we went in and they beat Thanos in the first 15 minutes, and then there was 2.5 hours of something else? Like,
That's a movie, right? That's but what not I'm saying a is series.
I know, but my point is you don't expect him to be wrapped up in 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, you expect it to take him a long time to defeat him. So I don't want to see Trigon get wrapped up in 15 minutes or by the end of episode one and then, you know, have him move on to Deathstroke by the second episode. So,
yeah, Thanos. You know,
we don't really know.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. I think that's it for DC Universe, like I said. But it felt like there was a couple of different things that came up this week. And, you know, we've neglected talking about DC Universe for a couple of weeks. So
Once we get going, it's just that snowballs. And that's like the whole episode.
Well, I know. But I felt like we owed it to our listeners to talk about DC Universe because, you know.
Well,
they become accustomed. If we don't talk about DC Universe and Immortal Hulk every week, we're going to lose listeners because that's what they're tuning in for.
We can't afford that.
Right. We can't afford that.
We can't afford that. Speaking of that, with the Disney Plus, the whole, do you think they're going to do the same thing and put all their books on Disney Plus?
I don't know because
they have the Marvel.
Because there is Marvel Unlimited already, which is a subscription service. So, I'm sure they could figure out a way to fold it into Disney Plus. You know, and make it part of the subscription.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I haven't heard any. Well, really, we haven't heard much at all about Disney Plus. So I guess we can't really even speculate, but. You know, we knew from the get-go that when they started talking about DC Universe, the plans were always there for the comics to be there as well.
Right.
I haven't heard that for Disney Plus, but like you said, we haven't heard really anything for Disney Plus. So, it kind of feels foolish not to do that. You know,
right?
But if I'm Marvel, like if I'm the head, you know, if I'm Disney, I'm going to say, well, I've got. You know, I don't know. Let's just guess. Let's say we get $10 million a year coming in from Marvel Universe, you know, Marvel Unlimited. You know, like, I don't know how many subscribers they have. But let's say they're getting a big chunk of money. Why do I want to give that up? Because those same guys, they're going to subscribe to Disney Plus, too. You know, so now I can get both of their subscriptions as opposed to rolling it all in and losing them. Like, I feel like there's money they'll lose if they give up Marvel Unlimited. So, I don't know if they'll fold it all in together. Disney didn't have the same... I mean, DC didn't have the same option because there wasn't already, like, a DC platform where you could read comics.
Right.
So, they weren't giving anything up by putting them into the DC Universe. But I feel like Marvel would lose whatever revenue they make from Marvel Unlimited. They're just going to lose that money. Because those same people are going to subscribe to both services either way.
Right.
So if I love Marvel enough to buy the Marvel Unlimited app, there's no way I'm not going to get Disney Plus so I can watch all the Marvel movies.
Right.
Know? So.
Did you see that? Did you see Apple Plus? Apple TV Plus?
Yeah. I mean, I saw that. I mean, again, we don't know a whole lot of details about it, but
no, another.
It's just yet another streaming
service.
More original
content.
Yeah.
More,
well, we've already. You know how I feel about that. Don't get me started.
Oh, I know. I know. But, I laugh because I've you're hearing.
But I feel like
for years you've been hearing people streaming. It's so much cheaper. It's not gonna be.
Here's what I'm hoping though, is that if Apple Plus I know it's going to be a streaming service, and I know they're going to have original content and all that, but if they wrap live TV into it also, something along the lines of like what Hulu's doing, like if it can become my DVR and my regular TV also, I'd be very interested in that because I really like how the Apple TV function, like the Apple TV box itself. I think it functions very well. Like I have no problems ever stream. Like I think it would be a good device to have to say replace my DirecTV.
Right.
So
as of right now, not to nerd out, but it is the best, most functional for all of the, whether it's 4K, HDR, Atmos, anything like that. It does almost everything. It's the only one that does pretty much everything.
Right, because like I wouldn't want to use my Fire Stick as my main TV source. But I would have no problem using my Apple TV. So
no, Amazon's the
only I guess the drawback is that I would have to buy a second one for my other, you know, for my other room, but it's still cheaper than paying for DirecTV boxes. So I don't know. I'm hoping that Apple TV, I'm hoping that they, it sounded like they were going to have access to some live channels. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But that is one that I'd be
waiting for some comic content if they come out with, you know, if they go head to head against, say, they come out with some original content from indies.
Well, I was going to say,
going against Netflix, but
what's the next big property? Like you've got CBS streaming has Star Trek, right? We know DC has DC, Disney has Marvel and Disney. Netflix is sort of going with the indies. Amazon picked up Lord of the Rings. So I was like, what's the big project that Apple's going to pick up to draw people in? You know, I'm just curious. Like I can't think of what it might be. But there's got to be some big flagship property that they're going to hang their hat on, you know,
to get
people. So, you know, because again, I know you said Lord of the Rings isn't really your thing. It is very much my thing. Like
I'll watch it.
But I'm saying
it.
I love that whole fantasy genre. Like I know you said you don't. I do.
Yeah,
like, I really like
person.
That. So to me, that's I would have Amazon Prime just to watch the Lord of the Rings. You know, same way I would have Netflix just to watch, you know, Stranger Things or whatever. So it would hook me with that. So I'm wondering what Apple TV is going to have that's going to hook somebody. Like, what's their big property going to be? And I can't think of another really big property that's out there right now that somebody hasn't already snapped up, you know.
Nope.
But
they're going to have to make something.
Yeah.
No, I made the joke the other day on Twitter, I think, that it's like we're going to be coming into this. The new landscape is going to be like, oh, did you see Game of Thrones? Like, no, we don't do HBO until July.
Right.
And then, like, because every month you'll do a different platform. Be like, oh, yeah, we do Amazon this month. Or Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you get all the time. But, like, that Showtime, HBO, you can't to keep up with all of these, you can't have them all at the same time.
Right. Well, I know we mentioned this before, you know, the last season of Veep.
It's only getting worse.
Yeah, the last season of Veep just premiered on HBO. And when it ends, it's going to run right into Game of Thrones. But when Game of Thrones ends, there's no longer anything on HBO that I care about. Those were the two shows that I actually kept HBO for. So I will drop HBO as soon as Game of Thrones ends. I already dropped Showtime, you know, next year when Shameless comes on and it's done, I'll subscribe for a month and I'll watch Shameless and I'll turn it back off again. So, almost everything is going to end up being that way. I think I will keep DC Universe and Disney Plus year round for sure.
Yes,
I may not even keep Netflix year round. I might only turn it on for Stranger Things and then turn it back off again. But I will keep, and I keep Amazon Prime for other things, you know, for my business with the shipping and stuff. So, I mean, I'll have that all the time too. But other than Disney Plus and DC, I probably won't keep anything else all the time because there's no real reason to.
Netflix is actually making the case for me to keep it year round because, just like The Dirt. I didn't even know that was coming, and I saw it, and it was, I was like, but it is one of the ones that you could just get for a month and binge it.
Right.
All the, hey, did you hear about this? Put it in the list. We'll see it in July.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I like, you know. I like Santa Clarita Diet, and they just dropped season 3. So, I mean, there's several things on Netflix that I do like to watch. But like you said, I could keep a list of them.
Right.
And I'm sure I could knock them all out in 30 days. So
yeah.
If I just waited until, say, July when Stranger Things was over, I could watch Stranger Things and Santa Clarita Diet and The Dirt all in 1 month, and then I could drop it.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, there's ways that you could make it work.
You know what's funny? And this isn't really comic bookish, but it pertains to what we're talking about. Go back 40 years ago when we had no DVRs. We had
right.
no way of recording the shows.
No, you had to watch them.
Right. There were only 3 channels.
Right.
But think of the battle that was going on.
Yep.
And there's been documentaries about this, too, about like what they were doing to get viewers. Because if you were watching CBS, you weren't watching NBC. You couldn't.
Right.
You missed it. You didn't see it. So if your eyeballs weren't on Cheers, you would watch whatever was going head-to-head with it. It was done. Because there was no opportunity. So, you know what I mean? It's like, so you had to make choices back then. But nowadays, listen to our conversation now.
I know.
We're talking about like, okay, I'll catch it in a month.
Right.
Because you know everything's there. It just lasts forever. It's, you know, it's like.
I remember having to make deals with my sister. Like, we had to trade
yes.
things for TV time.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll let you watch this tomorrow night if you let me watch The Fall Guy tonight.
Exactly.
Or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, being that I was the older sibling, it's like, I won't kick your butt today let me watch Buck Rogers tomorrow.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But
we had 4 kids in the house, and the way my parents did it is it was a rotating schedule on who got the remote.
Right.
When we finally got a TV with a remote.
Well,
that
and really
wasn't
it was
the
more...
mid-80s.
And that only happened if there wasn't something that my parents were going to watch instead.
Right.
Because, like, if they had the TV, like, our Friday nights, it was Dallas, and that was it. Like, it didn't matter what we wanted to watch, because Dad was watching Dallas. And,
oh, my dad was Chips,
you know,
so I lucked out there.
Yeah. And I didn't care about Dallas. I didn't want to know who shot JR, so... But, you know, that's when you could even get it away from your parents, and then you had to fight
right.
with your sibling. So, yeah.
Well, we
kids,
have 4
kids today,
so they
will
gave
never,
us a TV.
They will never understand the struggle.
No.
You know?
Oh, no.
Well,
I
yeah,
have a hard
most
time
TVs
remembering
didn't have
the
2
struggle.
Houses. I mean, most houses didn't have 2 TVs in them.
Most TVs didn't have 2 houses.
Yeah. Most houses only had 1 TV. You know?
Right.
Like, I remember finally when I got a little black and white TV for my bedroom. You know, and like that was my whole Christmas present or something 1 year. And it was probably like a $60 black and white TV. But
yeah, I got mine senior year.
But then I never had to leave you know, I got to stay in my room and watch whatever I wanted.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I got mine senior year. That was the big deal. And it was funny because we all got TVs that Christmas. We all got little TVs for our rooms. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't get mine till senior year, but I got a sister that's 8 years younger than me.
Right,
she
got
TV.
Right, right.
Like, what the heck? Hey,
just the timing of it.
Yeah, sorry.
I remember having a little handheld TV. Remember those little handheld black and white like transistor TVs or whatever with the antenna?
I had
you know, it got like one station. You had to walk around the house like trying to get.
Do you remember Do you remember the what was the handheld Sega?
Yeah.
With the cartridge, you put the cartridge in the top of it. That was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but that had the TV
either.
Adapter for
right.
it.
Right.
With the antenna and the slide, the analog tuner on it.
Yeah.
And I used to bring that to work, and I'd set it up in the cafeteria during break and watch. Actually, I was working nights at the time, so I remember watching the NBA Finals on the thing.
Right.
But, yeah, so. All right.
Well, one more thing.
Way off. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, that's funny. We've gone way off topic.
We're way off topic here. And again, hitting 2 hours when we said to ourselves, this will be a short show tonight because we don't have anything to talk about.
Again, the reason we started this podcast is we would not shut up.
Right.
So,
well, I mentioned earlier that I didn't get a chance to see Shazam because I had tickets to something else last Saturday. And I went to go see Star Wars at the Houston Symphony. Which was really when this comes to your city, if it hasn't already, I can't.
Is that the one that had
enough.
The lightsaber battle? Did they have a lightsaber battle in that one? Okay,
no. It's basically, you know, you're just watching A New Hope on the screen, but the symphony is live.
Right,
so all the music is live. So the first thing I wanted to mention was like if you get a chance to do this. You absolutely need to do it. It was phenomenal. Like, it is such a cool experience to have that music played,
right?
You know, there. And
how
you sort of get wrapped up in the movie. At a certain point, you get sucked into the movie and you kind of forget that they're alive. So you have to consciously make an effort to look away from the screen and kind of look down to see, oh yeah, there's real people here playing because. It's that good.
But that's what I was going to say. Like the sound of the movie wasn't like overwhelmed by these people.
Well, it was in a way. Like the whole movie was subtitled, so you could read it just in case. Like they just turned the subtitles on so you could read it. But no, you could hear it.
I think I know it all by heart.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I didn't need to read it. I know all the words.
I mean, I can't recite it, but if I see the scene, I'd know it.
Yeah, but
like singing along to a song.
There are a few portions where. The music drowns over the voice, and when you watch it, like when you watch Star Wars on a
just
DVD
the opening
or whatever,
must have been spectacular. You must have got chills.
Well, the best part of it was they started with the Fox intro, so you don't get that anymore with Disney because it's Disney,
right?
You don't get that.
Well, dun, you will
da,
now.
Da, 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 you know, but right. They started with that, which was like everybody kind of stood up and cheered, but. Like I said, but there are, like, when you watch it on, like, a VHS or something, it's mixed so that the music doesn't overtake the voices or anything.
Right.
So when you're seeing it live.
On a VHS.
Right. Well, because Star Wars doesn't exist, really, you know, the originals, anyway.
I got it. On DVD, I have it.
There are points where it overtakes the voice a little bit and it gets a little bit hard to hear. But for the most part, when they're speaking, the music's not playing at the same time most of the time anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah, just like when you score a movie, you're not like, going over their voice. Like, what did
exactly.
he say?
Yeah, exactly. So for the most part, it wasn't a big deal. But like I said, it's a great experience. And like at least here in Houston anyway, Empire is coming in November. So like I'm absolutely going to see that. But,
really? So they're doing it. Now, is this a traveling thing? Because I haven't seen it in my area.
Well, obviously,
like sounds like it's just you guys.
No, because I saw it posted on Facebook. Somebody was in like Chicago or something watching it also. So now, obviously, it's not the Houston Symphony. They're seeing like the Chicago Symphony, I guess, you know, doing it with the movie. So other cities are getting this. So that's why I'm saying if it comes to your city or if it's in your city. And you get a chance to do it, like, it's absolutely worth the money. I've never been, like, a symphony guy. I've never been to the symphony before in my life, but...
I have, and that's why I'm not a symphony
guy.
But
it was so great. But the other thing that it did for me, though, is it reminded me how much I just detest the special edition versions of Star Wars.
Like, so they played the original.
Yes.
Just
they're the special editions. Like, it's, you
know,
they played the special editions. It had the Jabba scene and it had all that stuff. So that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. So I had heard about these.
We're going to 3 hours, people.
Yeah. you know, Star Wars fans have been clamoring for years for them to re-release the original cuts on Blu-ray. You know,
yeah,
George Lucas has come out and said emphatically that he won't do it. Kathleen Kennedy now with Disney has said she's honoring George Lucas's wishes, and Disney has no plans to bring him back. So it looks like we're never going to get remastered Blu-ray versions of the original trilogy. So I found out
there are DVD copies.
Well, so here's the thing. Yeah, there's DVD copies, but
I have them.
There are fan restorations out there of. Well, this is before you shake your head and say you're not going to eat your vegetables. Let me finish my story. So
turning my nose up.
Yeah. So there's fan restorations of the original trilogy out there, done in high quality. I had heard about these things, on the internet. You could download them and watch them. Never did that, but I found them for sale, pressed to Blu-ray on eBay. And I bought them.
Did you get them yet?
Yeah, I bought them. Yeah, I bought them and I got them. And I spent I spent 3 nights this week watching all three of these movies. These are damn near 4K quality, DTX sound. These things are phenomenal. And they are the original unedited versions of Star Wars. So if you're a Star Wars fan, you need to buy these.
So how did they do it? They couldn't have taken a 4K and then
They're 4K quality. I mean, they're damn near 4K. They're not 4K.
Yeah, but what was their
they
source
have
material?
Well, the original cuts were filmed in high quality film back in the 70s. They have gone back and restored frame for frame.
Fan?
Yeah, it's a fan. They're fan edits.
So somebody must have got a hold of the film?
I don't know how they did it. I just know they did it. And I know that I was
You gotta send me the link so I
was very.
I want to grab a copy and compare.
I was very skeptical of it myself, but it was $45 for all three movies with free shipping, and I was like, screw
it. That's not bad.
I'm going to take a chance on it because I don't think I'm ever going to get Blu-ray. And I have refused to buy it. Like, I don't own Star Wars on Blu-ray. I refuse to own it because it's not the theatrical cuts. So these are as close as I'm probably ever going to get, and I'll be honest with you, I'm happy. I'd be happy with them forever. Like, they're that good. So
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah,
because
I was very skeptical. I'll send you the link to it.
But I have the original, and it takes some finagling to get it because I have the original cut, which I actually enjoy because the sound isn't as good, which the original movie wasn't, when you see it. It's not in the, surround that we have today.
Right.
But I have to manipulate my projector. I have to manipulate, because it doesn't fill the screen because it's a little box in the middle of this big screen. So you have to actually zoom in on it to a different way.
Right.
But
it
gives you that effect. You get to see it on the full screen. I get to see the movie. But what is funny, and I'd like to do that with the ones that you bought, is when I do put in, so my wife and I watched the whole original cut, and we watched the whole thing, the first Star Wars. And then I was like, hey, now check this out. And I put in the Blu-ray copy. Right. And when that opening scene, when Vader comes in, it's like after watching a whole movie from the early 2000s on DVD, it's like somebody took the screen door off of the screen. It's the resolution's just unbelievably better. So I would be interested to do an A/B test on those ones too.
You could check them side by side. Like I said, I watched them on my 75-inch 4K TV, and there was no distortion. They weren't grainy. I mean, it looked like a brand new Blu-ray HD quality. If you search Star Wars Despecialized on Google, you can read all about it. Was like a many years project. Like, it took him years to restore all three movies.
Wow.
And like, it was definitely done with love. Like, I mean, it was done frame for frame. I watched all three movies, and it never had one hiccup. Like, there was never anything that made me think that these were not official releases. Now,
what did they come in? Just like a blank box?
I was going to say
they do a whole box set and everything.
I'm not going to get up and walk away now because we're not done. But after we hang up on here, I'll get them and show you. No, they look like they're in each one of them's in its own Blu-ray case.
Send me some pics. I'll tweet it out. Give them some advertisement.
They're like pressed on the disc
now.
Have like the image pressed on them. Like, it looks like
you
bought them.
Do that.
But I'm just saying, they look like you bought them at the store. They don't look Like, it's very professionally done. And I know the naysayers are going to jump on and say, you know, it's piracy or whatever. Dude, I own Star Wars 7 times over, so there's no right. way this is pirated. Yeah. Like, I own Star Wars
Laserdisc.
I own it on VHS. I own it on DVD. So you can't tell me I pirated Star Wars. But
no.
And I paid for these. Like, they weren't free. I paid $45 for them. So,
right. Well, yeah, but maybe you didn't pay Lucas. That's
I didn't
pay
Lucas, but I paid somebody.
Right.
But I paid Lucas. I've owned Star Wars in my lifetime at least 7 different times. So I've paid Lucas plenty. But like I said, I kind of wanted to bring it up because if you're a Star Wars lover and you...
I think we have a few.
Yeah, and if you're like like me and... Like, there's people like I've talked to that came that are younger, and that's all they know is the special editions. Like, they've never even seen the regular cuts. Like, because if you're 25 years old, that you don't even know that there was other versions of Star Wars. But if you're, like, old like me, and you grew up on the, you know, the original...
Actually, if you're, like, almost... If you're 30 years old, you probably don't know. Because the...
Special editions were, like, 97.
It was the... Yeah, it might
even... Or 99, so...
Yeah, it might have been before that, because they came out on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
They were out on Laserdisc before they were out on... Yeah. I believe they were out on Laserdisc before they were even out on Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah, they
were.
Well, I'm looking at... I'm actually looking at my Laserdiscs right now. And they are the non-special edition versions, you know.
Right. That was that the box set, the big box, or just the individuals?
I bought them individually.
No, there's a big box set that a thick box, and I think that's the and that was even before DVD was invented.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. I don't. But I owned all of them. I own, like you said, I owned all the individuals, which were the early Laserdiscs.
Right.
Then there was the special with the Dolby AC3 surround. That's what surround was called then. And, So
here's, again, now we're really just rambling.
We're talking Star Wars.
If people want to tune out, they can tune out. But I'm going to jumping back to the symphony. It had an intermission. It went for an hour, and then you had a 15-minute intermission, and then, you know, you got the second half of the movie. So, before the first intermission, like, we're into the movie, and my wife looks over, and she's like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't want to go through all these people. And I was like, no, hold on, because the intermission is going to be in, like, 3 minutes. And she's like, okay, you didn't look at your watch or anything. And I was like, trust me, right? So, 3 minutes later... It's intermission. And she said, how did you know it was going to be intermission? I said, because this spot right here that just happened in the movie, that's when I had to flip the Laserdisc over. I was like, no, wait, that's going to be intermission because right here is when you have to flip the disc.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember that.
So anyways, I think we've rambled enough.
You think?
Yeah.
All right. If you're still listening,
yeah,
thank you.
Right.
No. All right. That'll do it for this week for our comic conversation.
In Star Wars.
And Star Wars. Hey, it's part of the topic. That was good. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, did we miss anything? You can hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. We are on Facebook.
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
Nice. All right, that'll do it for this week. I'm Pete. How about you?
Me too.
All right, I'll check you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.